The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 3 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Emma Ojalo.
And I'm Felix Altman-Bushmay.
And here are your headlines for today. A strike at Canada Post and a lockout at the Port of Montreal could affect deliveries as we approach the holiday season. The STM has temporarily closed one main entrance of the Atwater Metro Station, and 1 in 5 Montreal students go to school hungry.
As Canadian businesses prepare for a busy holiday season, many are now opting for private mail carriers. This comes as negotiations between Canada Post and their workers' union continue to stall. Dario De Felice has details.
Canada Post workers have issued a 72-hour strike notice and will now be in a legal strike position as of Friday. This could have an impact on most mail delivery services throughout the country, including both the rural and urban courier services. Vice President of the Montreal Section of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Luja Charles-Pierre, says many demands have still not been met.
We're requesting 23%, but that's in 4 years, and Canada Post is trying to give us 11.65%, which is less than 3% a year, and that doesn't even cover cost of living currently right now.
Meanwhile, Canada Post is set to lock out workers as of 8 a.m. on Friday if agreements can't be reached. Labour Minister Stephen McKinnon says there is no plan for the federal government to intervene in negotiations between the two parties.
The issues in the Canada Post negotiations are substantial. There's a lot of work to do. We will make every effort possible to keep them at the table and keep them talking.
Canada Post says it will maintain essential mail delivery during a strike, including benefit and pension checks. The Crown Corporation says it's dealing with a worsening financial situation with over $3 billion in losses since 2018. But Charles-Pierre says the company still has money for managers.
We haven't gotten a raise in so long, and Canada Post keep on saying that they're not making enough money. Everyone got a bonus in the management team, but no employees did.
The possible strike would cause major disruptions to Canada's letter mail and parcel delivery, with many fearing the impacts ahead of the busy holiday season. Dario De Felice, CJCN, Montreal.
The 72-hour lockout at the Port of Montreal is into its third day. The Maritime Employers Association and Dock Workers Union have been locked into months of tense negotiations. Julie Gascon is the president and chief executive officer with the Port of Montreal.
I am not at the negotiation table, and I am not the employer. What I can tell you today is that there is an impasse in negotiation. There is no negotiation right now taking place.
Soraya Yale Ramanathan is following this story with us this morning. Soraya, what's the latest?
The 72-hour lockout is set to end at 9 tonight. But yesterday, Labour Minister Steve McKinnon announced that he is forcing ports in Vancouver, Quebec City, and Montreal to reopen permanently. This comes after months of strikes and lockouts have led to backed-up supply lines. This week's lockout was issued after Montreal dock workers voted against the proposed final offer. The association was offering a 3% salary raise each year for the next 4 years, and then a 3.5% raise the 2 years after that. However, the union says this doesn't address any of its scheduling concerns. 99.7% of dock workers' union members voted against the offer. So for now, the port is expected to reopen.
And what are the consequences of closing the Port of Montreal for 72 hours?
The Montreal port moves $400 million worth of goods every day and is the second largest port in Canada after Vancouver. The Montreal port employs 1,200 people directly, but the Port of Montreal president says that the closure could affect up to 10,000 other employees whose jobs depend on the flow of goods from the port. It's gotten to the point where Labour Minister McKinnon says it's affecting Canada's reputation as a reliable trading partner.
And how did we get to this point?
The collective agreement between the Dock Workers Union and the Maritime Employers Association expired at the end of last year. The two parties have struggled to reach an agreement since. Back in September, Montreal dock workers went on a 3-day strike. Then October 30th, the dock workers went on an indefinite strike at two terminals. Montreal's dock workers weren't the only ones unhappy with their agreement. Vancouver's dock workers were also facing lockouts this week.
Thank you, Soraya.
Concerns are rising for unhoused people in the city after the STM closed the Atwater Metro entrance until April of next year. Andrea Caceres joins us live with more.
The STM is facing heavy criticism following the temporary closure of one of the main entrances of the Atwater Metro station. The entrance, located in a Cabot Square, is often occupied by homeless people. I spoke with Jocelyn Natulip, Director of Security and Fire Safety for the SCM, on more about this matter.
We had to make that decision not because of the profile of the person staying in that entrance. It's just following the fact that people were sending, clients were sending us a complaint about the lack of security.
Thanks, Andrea. Montreal anti-abortion activists are challenging the Quebec law banning protests within 50 meters of abortion clinics. Advocates say it goes against their rights of freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. Campaign Quebec V is leading the challenge. Clinic Morgan Taylor, Medical Clinic Femina, and the Montreal Women's Health Center have requested to act as case interveners. They say legislation ensuring women's choices should be maintained. The Quebec Superior Court is expected to hear the case this week. The Quebec government has adopted a new bill that it says will protect consumers against abusive tipping and price gouging. The bill will change how tips are calculated and how prices are displayed at grocery stores. Joji Furukawa has more.
A new law adopted by the Legault government last week is getting mixed reactions from consumers. The law will force restaurants to calculate tips on the total before tax, rather than after tax is added. Fanny Hébert-Chassé is a psychology student at Concordia. She thinks the bill will encourage people to tip more.
Calculating the tip before taxes will maybe push people to tip more and do it for more types of services and products. So honestly, I don't have a problem with that, especially since I've been working in a bunch of different cafes. So I don't think a few cents is really going to make the difference.
Critics of the bill say the government could be doing more to protect service industry workers. Angelica Atonakopoulos is a biology student at Concordia. She says the government's efforts are misplaced.
They should have taken a look at, you know, mandating restaurants, cafes, other service-based institutions to just pay their workers a living wage instead of using tips as a loophole.
Isaiah Kocher is a barista at The Hive. He doesn't know what impact the bill will have on the cafe.
The cafe here is, like, small enough that, like, the difference between, like, before tax and after tax really isn't that much of a difference.
The new bill went into effect last Thursday. It will also change how prices are displayed at the grocery store. Customers will now be able to see which items are subject to sales tax, helping them budget before getting to the cash. Joji Furukawa, Concordia News, Montreal.
The U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has named Elon Musk and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy to lead the new Department of Government Efficiency. In a post on X, Trump said that the department would pave the way to dismantle government bureaucracy, slash excess regulations, cut wasteful expenditures, and restructure federal agencies. Trump also appointed his former U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office Director Tom Homan as his board czar. When asked if mass deportations could be done without separating families, Homan said, "Of course there is. Family can be deported together," in an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes. Trump also named Fox host and Army veteran Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. One in five Montreal children goes to school hungry, according to a recent Montreal Public Health report. The Coalition for Healthy School Food Quebec helps less fortunate children. Desiree Zagbe has more.
Danny Martin is the coordinator of the Coalition for Healthy School Food Quebec. It works with different youth organizations to help disadvantaged children. There are different food programs that youth and families can choose from depending on their situation. Martin says, helping struggling youth is a privilege.
I feel hopeful because I see that there are solutions.
Martin says many children go to school hungry because of poverty. Growing up in a household with food insecurity or having parents who don't have time to prepare breakfast are part of the reason.
This is also attributed to, like low wages, high cost of food, inflation, high cost of houses for lodging.
Martin hopes disadvantaged school children in Quebec will learn more about the importance of nutritious food, get cooking skills that they can apply at home, and ultimately succeed in school. For CJCN, I'm Desiree Zagbe.
A group of brush cutters accused Hydro-Québec subcontractors of exploiting them, a Radio-Canada investigation revealed. Aldamo Inc. and Gestion Sylvica allegedly did not pay their workers on time and created unsafe work environments. Transportation problems and lodging conditions where some workers had to sleep in the same bed. The two companies were given over $70 million in contracts to cut vegetation under power lines. Quebec medical students are reacting to last week's announcement that they'll have to work in the provincial public health system in the first 2 years after their graduation. Gaspar Baudouin has more.
Health Minister Christian Dubé says there has been a 70% increase in healthcare workers turning to the private system. And this law will help reduce the long-lasting health workers crisis in Quebec. However, this decision created a big controversy among medical students, with many of them feeling it would restrict them in their field of work.
And it would mean that I wouldn't have the option to pursue the residency program of my choice after graduation. So for example, like I said earlier, I want to work in endocrinology, but if I'm required to become a general practitioner after my studies, then it would delay my ability to do what I truly want.
Dubé says even Ontarian students could be forced to work in Quebec after completing their studies here. This measure particularly scares out-of-province students, as a good portion of them just don't want to stay in Quebec after their studies and would rather go back to their family instead. Clémence Rutherford is a McGill student from Toronto. She is concerned.
I understand the measure for the people who were born in Quebec, but for foreign students like me, it's not the best because I don't think that I'm going to live in Quebec for the rest of my life.
A lot of students are also pointing out practical issues with the proposed law. Medical studies are already an inaccessible field for most people. Naya Fawaz says adding even more limitation could damage the health system more than actually help it.
New doctors could find themselves working in a system that doesn't even fit their career inspiration, and they would be forced to comply, or else they would be obligated to face a huge financial burden.
It is not yet clear how long medical students might have to work in a public system before being allowed to work elsewhere. Dubé also hasn't said what consequences there might be for those who decide not to work in the public system. For Concordia News, I'm Gaspard Baudouin.
Bev Priestman was fired and will not be returning as the head coach of the Canadiens women's soccer team. The decision follows an independent investigation into the use of drones to observe opposing teams during the Paris Olympics. Priestman and two other team officials have been banned by FIFA for 1 year for their role in the scandal. The Canadian Soccer Association is investigating. Canadian soccer president Peter Auguroso says it has been a challenging time for the players, fans, and staff. The search for a new coach for the women's national team will begin shortly. A Montreal organization that makes sure seniors get a gift for Christmas is looking for help. Cassidy Jacobs has more.
Owls for Seniors has become a staple initiative in Montreal to help bring joy to seniors during the holidays. Alana Edwards, the organization's creator, tells us what it's all about.
So basically our goal is to provide local seniors with a Christmas gift at Christmas because often the holidays are such a lonely time for a lot of them. A lot of them don't have families that come and visit, or their families live far away, or they have their own get-togethers that they have to go to. So often a lot of these seniors are left just with the people that live with them and the staff. So it's really just to make them know that somebody's thinking of them specifically, and just to brighten up their holiday.
The first year of the project saw 500 seniors at 5 residences receive gifts. Last year, there were 37 residences involved and about 3,600 seniors got to open presents. Trees and donation drop-offs can be found in various locations, including Pointe-Claire, Vaudreuil, LaSalle, and Gunawage. Alana hopes that many join the initiative this year to ensure that seniors and residences are not forgotten.
People to remember that if they do have parents or grandparents in residences, to really just take the time, even once a month, to go and visit them. Mm-hmm. I know life gets in the way, but these people are what made us who we are today. And so I think it's really important to make those people that we've forgotten, to make them unforgettable.
More information about the Elsewhere Seniors organization can be found on their website. For Concordia News, I'm Cassidy Jacobs.
The Grand Christmas Market returns to St. Catherine Street after years of absence. Visitors can enjoy the over 150 free activities and decorations. The project is taking up almost 3 weeks to set up. Agathe Soldat joins us live with more.
Yeah, so I'm at the location where the market will take place, and it's really impressive to see all the work that they're doing. Artisans have also started putting together their stations to serve their signature food. And there are a lot of technicians and volunteers here to set up the Christmas trees and the lights.
And what are the volunteers thinking about the setup this year?
Well, volunteers are really excited about it. They think that visitors will really be impressed with this year's setup and activities. I spoke with Johanna Onestas, who has been volunteering for 4 years now. And she's also a production coordinator. And she says that they can't wait to see how visitors are going to react.
Hopefully
everyone's going to be happy. We are happy to do that for the fourth year in a row, and we are happy to hoping continue to do that for a long time.
So I got, how long will the Grand Christmas Market last, and who can attend?
So it's going to be from November 22nd to December 30th. As for visitors, everybody can attend. There's going to be activities like wine tasting and Christmas photos with Santa, so everybody can attend and enjoy the holiday spirit. Félix Antoine?
Thank you, Agathe. And now, here's your weather forecast for the week. It will be sunny this afternoon with a high of 3 degrees. The sky will be clear tonight. The low is negative 3 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 4 degrees. And on Friday, partly cloudy again with a high of 7 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Félix Antoine Beauchemin.
And I'm Emma Ojalo.